Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
People say, well, it's not loving to talk about hell. People say, I'm sick and tired of fire and brimstone preachers. Really, where are they? I don't see them anymore. Maybe there was a day, but I don't see fire and brimstone preachers anymore. But tell me, if your house is burning down and somebody runs in and says, your house is on fire, let's get out of here. Is that guy loving or is that guy some hater?
Jesus talked a lot about hell. That's right, not a popular topic today with most people, but following Jesus isn't about being popular, it's about love. Loving those around us enough to warn them about a very real place where we do not want them to go. We know how much Jesus loves us. May we love others with that same love that's brave enough to risk being unpopular for the sake of saving lives. With part two of our message out of Mark chapter 14, verses 53 through 72, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
If you say, I'm going to the bar to lead people to Jesus, I say, sell that somewhere else, I'm not buying. It is your flesh. You are there for your comfort. You are there because you like the scene. There's something, and you might be deceiving yourself. You might get angry at me right now. How dare you say that? You don't know that. I heard of a gal who played pool. She's very good at it. She would go into a bar with pool tables and she would bet somebody, hey, I'll give you $10 if you beat me, but if I beat you, then I get to sit down for 10 minutes and tell you about Jesus. And then she'd, you know, mop the floor with them and sit down and tell them about Jesus. So I'm certainly not saying that that can happen. I'm just saying it's rare. I had a friend of mine who started going to the bar and to say that he wanted to share Christ with the people who were there. By the way, first of all, that's not why people are there. People are at a bar for a couple of reasons. Number one, to get drunk. Number two, to find somebody to have sex with. All right? Those are the reason that people go to bars in general, okay? And the last thing they want to hear, do you want to hear about Jesus? Not really. It's not why I came. But he said that's the reason that he went, that he was going to bars to testify, and people in the bars had to hear about Jesus. And it was only a matter of 6 months or so until he had fallen into sin. He ended up picking up a gal and sleeping with her from the bar. See, we can be self-deceptive. My question for you is, are you warming yourself with the enemy's fire? Hey, you need to shine Christ wherever you go, but there are places you should not be. You are somewhere where you should not be, and then you wonder, why did I fail? Well, you were where you shouldn't be. Guy says, me and my girlfriend, we fell last night sexually. Well, really, where were you? Well, we were parked on the street. Well, why were you parked there? Well, it was the only dark spot. Well, let's see. If you weren't parked on the street, why was it dark? Because I shot the light out with a BB gun. If you weren't parked in that dark spot, then you would have never have fallen. And you might even have defended it. So you get my point? We prepare for failure sometimes, as Peter did, and then all of a sudden he denies him. Let's read the denial. I have 3 points of denial here. They're each different. It's interesting. We start off in verse 66. Now, as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and she said, you also were with Jesus of Nazareth. So the accusation is you were with him. Now, why would she say you also were with Jesus? Because she knew John. John was there. John had gone out and gotten Peter. You also were with him. But he denied it. Verses 68, I neither know nor understand what you're talking about. He gave the old, what are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. I'm clueless. What are you talking about? I don't even know that guy's being beaten over there. What are you talking about? His first denial was that he was not with Jesus. That was the denial. It's interesting. The world accepts certain things about Jesus. The world, talking about the university or people that are in the world, there's certain things about Jesus that they like. They like that he's compassionate. They like that he stood up for the gal that was caught in adultery and forgave her. He liked that he had compassion on the woman who was probably a prostitute who wept at his feet. But they don't like the fact that Jesus said, I'm the only way. And if you don't follow me, you'll go to hell. So they want to pick and choose. And so we have a temptation that we will at times make Jesus more palatable. We'll go to people and we'll try to present Jesus in this loving, compassionate way, and we'll leave out that Jesus talked about hell more than anyone else. Why did Jesus talk about hell more than anyone else? The Bible says in Proverbs, death and Hades are constantly before the eyes of the Lord. How much more the souls of men? In other words, He sees them all the time that are there. How much more are you before Him that He wants to stop you from going there? That's why He said more about hell than any other. People say, well, it's not loving to talk about hell. People say, I'm sick and tired of fire and brimstone preachers. Really? Where are they? I don't see them anymore. Maybe there was a day. I don't see fire and brimstone preachers anymore. But tell me, if your house is burning down and somebody runs in and says, your house is on fire, let's get out of here. Is that guy loving? Or is that guy some hater? Talk about your house burning down. Well, if there is a real hell and you are on your way there, then it is a loving thing to warn you. It is the hater who says, I don't want to upset him. I want to talk positively. I don't want to talk negatively at all. See, what I'm saying is that we've got to take Jesus as He is. We've got to take the real Jesus, the Jesus that is in the pages of Scripture. And we need to take Him with us. And that means that the world's going to look at us at times and go, I don't like you. I don't like you because I don't like that Jesus. And the world tries to rewrite who Jesus is. And the National Geographic Channel does a thing called the historical Jesus. And the historical Jesus is not the Jesus of the Bible. The historical Jesus is the Jesus the world can accept. And so sometimes we go, I don't know Him. We act like we want to present a Jesus that is accepted by the world more. Let's bring the real Jesus out. Sharing your faith is not about you. Sometimes people will say to me, well, how can I be really effective in sharing Christ? Well, it's not about you at all. So do I need to be more gregarious? Do I want to be really hip? And that way I'll show people that, you know, you can be cool and know Jesus and people are going to come to the Lord. I don't think there's anybody that's ever come to the Lord because you're hip. I don't think there's a person out there, wow, you're really hip. I'm going to come to Jesus. Because look at you. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And so we lift Christ up in our lives. And I don't care if you're cool. Cool is like being 6 foot tall. You either are or you aren't. And if you're not and you try, you turn into a hipster doofus. That's the bottom line. You just need to shine Christ. You just need to share Christ with who you are. Well, Peter says, first of all, I'm not with him. The second denial is a little bit different. Pick it up in verse 68. But he denied it, saying, I neither know him. Let's go to 69. How about that? And the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, this is one of them. But he denied it again. So what was the second denial? This is one of them. He denies that he's with them. He denies that he's with Christians. He says, I'm not with John. I'm not one of them. Or we can deny that we're like Christians. Now I realize I look around at some Christians and I see what they do. And I go, I really don't want to claim them. You know, you can't choose your family, right? You can choose your friends, you can't choose your family. And there's always that person in your family that embarrasses you, right? There's always that person in your family you really go, I just really wish I wasn't related to them, but I am. And if you go, no, that's not true. There's nobody in my family that I'm embarrassed, then you got a problem worse than that because you're probably that person. It's probably true. You're the person there going, I was there in their family. The truth is, there's a lot of Christians that act in ways that I wish they would never act. There's a lot of Christians that make it more difficult for us to share Christ. Nevertheless, the Bible says, Jesus himself said, this is the new covenant that I give unto you, that you love one another. We need to receive one another, accept one another. And then he said, and they will know that you are my disciples by the love that you have for one another. His second denial was a denial for them. His third denial was in knowing Jesus. His first denial was that he was not with Jesus. The last denial was that he didn't know him. Look at verse 69, actually 70. But he denied it again, and a little bit later, those who stood by said to Peter again, surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it. He had an accent. And he began to curse and swear, I don't know this man of whom you speak. Now think about it. The Bible says salvation is knowing Jesus. Jesus said in John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that you know the one true God and the Son whom he sent. Now Peter says, I don't know this guy. At the same time, Jesus is being beaten. Now the Bible says again, the rooster crowed and that Jesus looked up across that courtyard and he got eye contact with Jesus. That must have been a devastating moment, don't you think? Then he went outside and he wept bitterly. He suddenly realized it and he just went outside and wept. At this point, I think Peter's done. I think at this point, he can't take this denial back. I think he's thinking, I'm done. I'm not a disciple anymore. A few days later, some women show up at the tomb, and when they get there, the stone has been rolled away and the body's gone. Mary Magdalene, who had hiked there to the tomb, probably carrying some spices, ran back to find Peter and John. When she found them, she said, the Lord's gone. They've taken his body. We don't know where they've taken him. Peter and John, being the gentlemen that they were, they ran back to the tomb without her. Ran ahead, left her behind. So Mary Magdalene, she finally shows up at the tomb, and she's been there, gone back. Now she's there again. So three times. She's full of tears. She's crying. And Jesus is standing outside of the tomb. And she thinks he's the gardener through her tears. And so she says, sir, where have you taken him that I might carry him away? Now, I love that about Mary Magdalene. I don't know how big Jesus was. It always cracks me up when people want to turn Jesus into a muscle man. I heard somebody say one time, Jesus was a carpenter. He was a God in the flesh. Certainly he was at least 6 foot tall and probably 290, maybe 210 or whatever. You know, big, strong guy, like a comic book, you know, savior. It's kind of what they, we know, men in their day were much smaller than we are. Maybe he weighed 150 pounds or so. If he was an average man, would have been maybe that. But there were spices that were added to it. And women were smaller in those days too. And Mary Magdalene says, where'd you take him? I'll carry him away. Now maybe our picture of Mary Magdalene ought to be changed a little bit. Maybe. She's like Helga. Show me where he's at. I will take him away. But she turns away from Jesus. And Jesus says, Mary, in a voice that's very familiar. Mary. And she turns back around and she says, Rabboni, teacher, Rabboni. She embraces him. And after a little while, Jesus says, okay, stop clinging to me. I got to go into my Father, but I want you to go tell the disciples and Peter to meet me in Galilee. Why did he say that? Tell the disciples and Peter. You know why I think he said it that way? Because Peter had already quit. Peter already is saying, I'm not a disciple. Tell the disciples and Peter. And had she gone back and said, Jesus wants to meet you guys, the disciples, in Galilee, Peter has said, that's not me. You don't deny the Lord and still be a disciple. Don't you think you'd feel that way? You would feel like you don't deny him and still be part of the 12. I'm not one of them. And then she says, well, she finally gets back there. She says, Jesus told me to tell you guys and you, Peter, he called by name to meet him in Galilee. He called me by name? Yeah. How'd he sound? Was he angry? Was he happy? How exactly did he sound? So when he finally gets to Galilee and they fished all night, they didn't catch anything, which says something, I think, about the kind of fisherman Peter was. And finally, John recognizes Jesus on the shore and Peter jumps out of the boat and he swims to shore. I think Peter's eager to see him, but we're not told that he said anything. He just kind of comes out of the shore, you know, the lake, he's all dripping, looks at Jesus, maybe, hey, say anything. And then Peter goes and drags the fish up and Jesus has prepared breakfast and they eat breakfast together, and when breakfast is done, Jesus says, Peter. And you got to think Peter went, oh, here it comes. Yeah? Do you love me? Now, there's four words in the Greek for love, and Jesus asked him, do you agape me? We know that word, right? Agape means unconditional love. It's 100% love. It's not based on affection. It's based on determination. It's the kind of love that we husbands have been told to love our wives with. That we are to agape them. It is saying, I choose to love you. Interesting, the Bible says, wives, be affectionate towards your husband. It uses the word phileo. It's not that, well, the Bible also says that we're to love one another, so I'm not saying that women aren't to agape their husbands. It's just interesting that the Lord said to women, women, be kindly affectionate towards your husband. So when Jesus says, Peter, do you agape me? Now, when we read this in the English, it says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, Lord, I love you. That's not what he said. Jesus said, Peter, do you agape me? And Peter said, yes, Lord, I phileo you. I'm fond of you. We get the word Philadelphia from the word phileo, the city of brotherly love. Phileo is the friendship love. Agape is the 100% love of commitment. So Jesus says, Peter, do you love me with everything? And Peter says, I like you, 75%, see, kind of thing. In other words, he's not willing to be overly confident. He was too overly confident before, now he's honest. He said, Lord, I like you. And then he says, then feed my sheep. Now, I love it. He doesn't say, well, Peter, if you like me, then why'd you deny me? He didn't say, Peter, I told you so. That you were going to deny me. You just wouldn't believe me. He doesn't even bring it up. Isn't that great? He doesn't even bring it up. He says, feed my sheep. A few minutes go by. We don't know how long. Jesus says, Peter, yeah. Do you love me? Second time, agape. Peter says, Lord, you know I like you. Phileo. Then tend my lambs. First of all, feed my sheep. Second, tend my lambs. Take care of the small ones. See, he's putting him back in ministry. You're not done. I'm not done with you. Tend my lambs. Third time, he says, Peter, do you love me? The Bible says that Peter got very sad because he said a third time, do you love me? Now, we think it's because he said it a third time that he gets sad. But go and Google this. You can Google the Greek words in this passage on John 21. And the third time Jesus said, Peter, do you like me? He used the word phileo. The first two times he said, do you agape me? Do you agape me? The third time he said, Peter, do you phileo me? It's as if he said, Peter, do you even like me? Peter looked at him and his heart broke. And he said, Lord, you know everything. And you know I like you. Now I wish that Peter would have stepped up to agape there, don't you? That Peter just would have said, oh, Lord, you know I agape you. And we would have gone, yeah, Peter. But it's real life. Peter didn't do that. Peter said, Lord, you know everything, and you know that I phileo you. And then he said, well, then tend my sheep. Feed my sheep, tend my lambs, tend my sheep. He put him back into ministry. He wasn't done with them. See, for some of us, if somebody would deny Jesus, we'd be done with them. I said it earlier, this is a severe sin. And yet he is restored. The mercies of the Lord are new every morning. Isaiah chapter 1 says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them as white as snow. Though they be as red as crimson, I'll make them like wool. Our God is a God of mercy and a God of forgiveness. And if you are one that has failed and you're alongside of the road, the Lord will reach down and take your hand and lift you back up again and put you back in the race. And who knows what God has in store for you, because it's not done yet. Stand with me, would you, and let's pray together. Father, we are blessed in this study. We don't necessarily like to talk about failure, and yet it's a reality in our lives. We have failed, and we're thankful that you have taken time to talk to us about our failure. We pray, Lord, that you would forgive us. And Lord, we ask you this, help us to not fail. Help us to be that successful person that you spoke of in Psalms 1 and in Jeremiah and to Joshua. And even in the Sermon on the Mount, when you said, the person who hears my word and does them is like a man that builds his house on the rock. And when the winds come, the house stands. Lord, let our house stand because we do what you say and build our house on the rock. And thank you that you have forgiven us. For which one of us could stand if we did not have your forgiveness? We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a few minutes. I want to give you an opportunity if you're here today and you've never invited Jesus into your life. Maybe you've begun to come to church and you say, well, you know what? I'm a Christian. I'm here, giving my life to Christ. Well, you got to do more than just come to church. I like what Keith Green said. He said, going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. Any more than going into a garage makes you a car. And then he said, any more than going to a donut shop makes you a cop. That was Keith Green. Sorry. Police officers, it's not me who said that. It was Keith Green. You can be mad at him. But you get the point, don't you? Just because you go to church, just because you were raised in a Christian family, doesn't make you a Christian. The Bible says, as many as receive him, he gives the power to become a child of God. That means you have to come to the place where you receive him and you invite him in. You say, Lord, I want to follow you. Jesus himself said, if you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you'll save it. And I got to tell you, this is something serious. This is not a game that's played. It's not about paying your fire insurance and going to church once in a while. It's about laying your whole life down and living for Him with everything you have. And if you're not willing to do that, then don't raise your hand. But if you're here today and you say, I want to give my life to Him, I'm done living for myself, and I want to find out what God has in store for me, I'm going to give Him everything, then I'm going to ask you to raise your hand now. You're saying, I'm done living for myself, and I'm ready to live for Him. His hands have gone up everywhere. I'm going to start from the right. Acknowledge the hands that are raised. God bless you, sir, back by the post over here. God bless both of you, the couple there. And the gentleman with his hands raised behind him, God bless you. Right here on the aisle, sir, in the middle. Right here in the front, sir. That's awesome. Ma'am, right by the post there, God bless you. It's great. Anyone else? God bless you, sir. All the way over to the left. God bless you, and second to the back row and the back row. That's great. God bless you right here up near the front. God bless you, sir. That's great. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. And today, if you hear God's voice, don't harden your heart. No one comes unto the Father unless, and no one comes to the Son unless the Father first draws them. So if you're feeling like I want to become a Christian, it's because God's drawing you. You may see it as your decision, but you would never be making this decision if God wasn't drawing you. God bless you. That's great. All right. I also want to give you an opportunity if you're here today. You used to walk with the Lord, but something happened. Maybe you got involved with sin. Maybe you got involved with a guy you shouldn't have. And maybe you got involved with a girl you shouldn't have. Maybe you just drifted away. You used to love Him and you were sold out, but you're no longer living for Him. It's been a great failure in your life. Now you realize that God will take you back. And listen, He'll not only take you back, He'll put a robe on your back and a ring on your finger, like He did with the prodigal son. If you're coming back to Christ today, then lift your hand up now. All right. Now, keep your hand up. I want to pray for you guys. Father, I pray for those that have their hands raised now as they are returning back to You. They have felt like a failure. They have failure in their life as they've walked away from You. And Lord, I too had walked away from You for a year, and I know what that's like. And I know what it's like to feel like You could never use us again, and yet You do. The power of Your Spirit, the gift of forgiveness, is phenomenal. And I pray for these that have raised their hands that You would touch them, fill them with Your Spirit, allow them to be established and rooted in You. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I would like everyone, including those who raised their hands, either for the first time or the second time, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I have sinned, and I know my sin has separated me from You. I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Christ upon the cross. So I invite You into my life, and I turn from my sin that I can live for You. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We hope that our verse-by-verse studies truly help you to see that God is real. He wants a personal relationship with you, and His Word is life-changing. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. For our local listeners, we invite you to join us at one of our two campuses. Our East Campus at Speedway and Camino Seco meets Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus, south of Palo Verde and I-10, meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you prefer, you can watch our service at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. If Practical Christian Living has blessed you and you'd like to donate, please visit PCLAZ.org. That's PCLAZ.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? We'd love to hear from you. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. We want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living TV Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. on KGUN 9. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living.
Do you love Jesus? Do you want to dig deeper in your walk with God? Then you are a great fit for Reach College. With enrollment opportunities to attend as a student or an auditor, the courses challenge you to analyze your way of thinking as you grow in your walk with Jesus. Find out more at thereachcollege.org. That is thereachcollege.org.